that strike horror, you're going to have to wait. But I don't want to wait. I want to be there. And wait is one of those words. It can be said quite optimistically. I've heard Joyce say, "I'm going to wait for the bus." I've also heard her say, "I was waiting for a bus for 3/4 of an hour, and it didn't come." One is an expression of hope and trust, and the other is an expression of disappointment, because what was assumed could be trusted didn't turn out to be the case. This word wait turns up a lot in Scripture. And it was just the other day, as I was thinking about Psalm 27, and can I say that it was purely a matter of irony and not intention that verse 12 appeared in, verses 11 and 12 appeared in blue print, which, if you remember, say, "Teach me your way, O Lord, lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence." That was not a comment on this week's political events at all. But there we find the psalm. It ends with the words, "Wait in the Lord. Wait in the Lord." It's actually a psalm of trust in God. It's saying, life has all sorts of ups and downs, all sorts of dangers, all sorts of perils, all sorts of blessings, all sorts of positives. But the way to live life is to live it waiting in the Lord. Waiting in the Lord. And that led me then to this passage, thank you, Mark, from Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read it from the Message version. He says, "I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly," there's the word, "wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That's why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant woman. We're enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. Some of you will understand some of what that's referring to, rather more experientially at least, rather more than some others of us. There are certainly about 8 or 10 people here, I think, this evening who will never know this experience and could not, being men. But yet Paul applies it to us all. This analogy of waiting. Of waiting, he likens it to birth, but he's saying, that's the sort of waiting. It's waiting knowing that there could well be pain ahead, but knowing that beyond that there's something so much better, so much more wonderful that we cannot begin to imagine what it's like. I mean, isn't that what we've been learning as we've been reading through the book of Revelations on Sunday mornings? But nobody promises an easy ride in this life. No one promises an easy ride through world history. It is littered by figures of evil, by oppressors, oppressive individuals and oppressive regimes and oppressive cultures. And there's pain in those things. But all the while, John is saying, I see a bigger picture. The Lord's given me a bigger picture. That beyond that, there is the fullness of everything God intends for his people. If we will stay faithful to him and be overcomers in his name. As we've often referred, there's what's called the now and not yet of the kingdom. When Jesus came into the world, when he ministered, he began to reveal the kingdom of God in the lives of men and women in ways that had never been seen before. There'd been hints of it through the Old Testament story. But now there was something quantitatively different where he was. And then following his 33 years, where the Spirit was among his people. And that's how it continues until the time comes when Jesus comes again in glory and brings in the new heaven and the new earth, and we enter into a whole new sphere of existence with him. A sphere of existence in which we will know no more illness, no more pain, no more distress, no more crying out of loved ones in the middle of the night. For we will be whole. We will be not diseased, but totally eased in his presence. We will be fully the people he has created us to be. But we're not there yet. And that's what Paul is referring to here. He says, we're not there yet, but since Christ came, since he died on the cross, since he rose from the grave, you could just sense there's this whole expression in creation of a wait, of a desire for the birth of that new thing to come. And during this time, we will begin to see glimpses of the kingdom, but we will see people healed. We will even see people raised from the dead. But these are not what you're going to see every day in every case. They are expressions that something bigger, something better is coming. And before that is born, there will be times when we are faced with pain and anguish before that new is born. But Paul is saying, is going to be born. This is the promise of God. And there's that sense in the writing of the psalmist as well. Wait on the Lord. It's coming. It's coming. It's his promise. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let go. He's here for you. He's here for you. And you will enter into it one day. Because no healing is complete in this life. There are some people here who would come and testify to the fact that they've been healed. There are people who will testify to having received big healings in their lives. But we know that one day, if the Lord doesn't come first, they're going to die to this life. They're going to stop breathing. They're going to go to be with him and go through the process that every human being has to go through. But just because I'm healed of this now does not mean that I might not suffer from this then. There's no get out of jail free card in a sense. It's a case of how God expresses his grace towards us. And sometimes he expresses his grace towards us by taking us to be with him. And that's very painful for those who are left. But Paul is saying we need to rejoice, because what we're seeing is God's process going on. And those who have gone before us, they're going to know the fullness of complete healing where they are. And we're not, even if we don't see healing for our loved ones or for ourselves, we are not excluded from his healing promises, because one day they will all be for all of us. And he says, I'm with you. Again and again in Scripture, we read assertions by God and by Jesus and from the Holy Spirit, I'm with you. I'm with you in the darkest of places. I'm with you in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm there with you. Just know this, that I'm not giving up on you. Walk with me. Receive my blessings. Live in them. But when the difficult times come, hold on to me a bit more. And wait with me. Because it's God saying this. It's God who has the power to do this. I've shared the story before, and it's in my mind because I shared it this morning at Lakeside at Sunderland. But and some of you have heard me say it before, and some of you will think it's familiar probably because you heard Donald English say it at Keswick years and years ago when he was doing Bible readings on Colossians, because I took it from a tape of that. But you know, it's the story of the little friends meeting house in the middle of Birmingham. Been there since quite early in the 18th century. But the city of Birmingham, sort of the city centre, grew up close by where it was, and on the plot of land next door, a firm called Lewis's built a big department store. This isn't John Lewis. This is Lewis's, and if In Leicester, we had a Lewis's. It was a wonderful department store, and there was one in Birmingham and I think one in Blackpool. There were about seven altogether around the country. Not a massive firm, but big, big stores. And they had wealth. And one day, the board of Lewis's met together, and they were basically saying, asking the question that all businesses ask, how can we increase our turnover? How can we sell more goods? And somebody said, well, of course, one of our problems is our lack of space. We need to extend. And so they came up with wonderful plans to extend in two directions, actually. But one of those directions was over the plot of land owned by the Friends Meeting House, the Quakers. And so they sent a letter which in effect said, Dear Friends Meeting House, as you know, we are a well-established firm who have been trading on this site for X number of years. Our business is growing and growing, and we need to expand our premises. If you will name any price, we will happily meet it so that you can buy land and build elsewhere in the city. Which seems a very reasonable offer, doesn't it? The reply came, Dear Lewis's, we have been here on our site longer than you have been on your site as Lewis's. Name any price you like, and we will happily meet it so that you can buy a new site and build elsewhere. Signed, Joseph Cadbury, who was the lead elder in the Friends Meeting House. And of course, it all depended on who was signing the check at the end of the day. And the person who is signing the check of promises to us, as we read the scriptures, is Jesus Christ. And it's on him we depend. When we go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus, we do not dare sign the check of salvation, for we never paid the price. It is Jesus who paid the price. And so we do whatever we do in his name and to his glory. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes waiting in itself can be the most healing of things to do. One of the things I think we've been learning recently this year in prayer here at Whitley Bay Baptist Church is how much we can receive from God if we would just give him the time and wait on him. Not to batter at his door saying, give us, give us, give us. But Lord, show us yourself. Because then we will know what to ask of him and what it is that he will release to us. So we come waiting on God. We're going to sing a song, There Must Be More Than This. And if there's anybody here who would like prayer for healing this evening, then I invite you to come. It may be